keep it clean there, Kaz.
1, 2, 1. Hi, you're listening to the Exercise Hour here on Wine Biz. Yes, let's lift your glasses. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Up to your mouth and down. And up and down. Okay, that's the how to drink wine and how to have fun doing it. You're listening here to the Kazmeister, and I sound like I'm underwater to myself, but I kind of always sound like I'm underwater to myself. And you're here today listening to Wine Biz on the Mighty Powerful 91.3 FM. And this is Randy Hall.
Hey, how's it going today, Kaz?
I am just lovely.
Cool. Just kind of and apparently my headphones aren't working, so...
They aren't?
No, no.
Oh, well, let's.
No. You just go on, and I will work around you.
You can hear that.
No.
Nothing. How about this?
I really
one?
Can't.
Here, try this.
Much better. Thank
much
you.
Much better. Right. See, that's the wrong one. You have to look for the pink one or the blue one, and that's probably too loud.
That's pretty loud. There we go. All right, cool. Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on. Hey, look at the weather. We've got it out there.
This morning was. Oh, geez. I was like. I was actually going to start directly with talking about that. What's going on with this?
We had rain. We had that little drizzle this morning, and it was kind of a little bit of a shock to me. I thought it was just going to kind of go by us, but my little vineyard got a little damp today, and we were going to pick some grapes this morning, but we're going to wait until tomorrow
now
to pick
some. That's probably smart, considering.
Zinfandel, but it's a beautiful, cloudy kind of day
now,
here.
Actually, a question regarding that is, now with that little tiny bit of rain, would that affect the sugar levels at all in terms of dropping it because of the added water?
It wasn't enough to really, in our...
It's almost like it just knocked the dust off, huh?
It did. Yeah. It did. It just knocked the those earwigs, gave them a little drink, and then they went back to sleep, and then tomorrow morning they'll shake and rattle and roll because tomorrow's moving day for them if they don't jump out of those clusters.
Eviction notice.
Eviction notice. Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw, what was that movie, The Little Mouse?
What, Stuart Little?
Stuart. No, before that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the one in the – well, if anybody can figure out the name of that movie, go ahead and call in. If you have any wine questions, you have any winery questions, you have any winery answers for us, anybody – who's at a winery out there and you want to call in and just tell us what's going on, what you're pouring these days at your winery, go ahead and call in. It's 933-9133. If you're listening to us on
the internet.
The internet, you can, if you're at ksvy.org, you can just find out the telephone number. And again, that's 933-9133.
You put a 707 in front of it, and it generally works.
Yeah, if you're out of the area, 707 helps. And then again, 707-933-9133. And we can tell you what's going on in Sonoma if Randy or myself know it. And
if we don't, we'll make it up.
We'll make it up.
Well, actually, we're not supposed to make it.
No, we make a lot of stuff up here because that's the way we
so,
are.
So, yeah, I was going to ask, how's the harvest going?
Harvest is going. It's going.
What percentage are you at now?
We're probably. My daughter asked me that just the other day. She said, "Where are we?" And we're probably at about 45% done.
Wow!
Right now.
So was like you had this crazy August and September, early September, where it was like busy, 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 and then it's been quiet.
Yeah, it kind of reached a peak and then just kind of petered off a little bit and. I'm kind of looking forward to getting some more grapes in. I like this time of year. I punch everything down at our vineyard and winery by hand.
Because they're just in the little half-ton bins.
They're just in those little half-ton or 1,000-pound kind of containers, and they get the Kaz massage every morning. And
now, actually, you actually have a little? I've noticed you had a little temporary carport thing sitting over top. Is that where you do like the?
I do there. No, I that's where we basically, if we're getting grapes in, we want to be under that.
Yeah.
But everything else is just out in the sun, getting the full booty of sunlight. But it hasn't been that warm. So
no, it cooler. Hasn't been too much of a risk in terms of temperature for the little yeasties.
And actually sometimes I prefer a little bit higher temperature because it's so cool at night here. I mean, we'll dip down into, I think it was 51 this morning.
I wouldn't be surprised. But the cloud cover probably raised it a little bit.
But it usually is very cool here. And since all my stuff is outside, it takes a lot more energy to heat something up than cool it down. So anyway, these bins stay at about even if it's about 100 degrees outside, they'll only go up to about 75, and that's about it.
Wow.
So I ferment good. For about 2 weeks out in this lovely kind of weather.
And, yeah.
Anyway.
But so you've been primarily focused on your
football.
White stuff.
On
well,
football.
Yeah, well.
I'm focused on football right now.
You know, actually, there was a question inside the studio last week that, why aren't you doing it for the Dragons?
Coaching for the Dragons? I tried to actually get onto the Dragons about 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, so it's not your fault?
No. Oh. It's their fault. It's purely their fault.
Okay.
And they are a tight-knit group. It's tough to get onto any team.
Oh, they're very cliquish, huh? Very high school.
Very high schoolish, yeah. And if you really didn't go around here, or my resume wasn't extensive enough, you know, for their mantra, I didn't get looked at. So
okay,
and they weren't really looking for anybody when I was trying to get into
so,
that.
So is it just that you want to be a football coach?
Yeah. I'm
even
asking
well,
for money.
Cool.
No.
It's you do it
I
for love.
It. I love it, and I just like seeing these crazy youngsters. Hit hat as it were, and lay some foundation for a life that they're going to be coming up to. I think it's a good starter course, really, on life and kind of battling through things and teamwork and effort and all that stuff. It sounds kind of hokey on the outside, but for those that haven't been through the atmosphere and the team thing of football, especially, it's pretty. It is a pretty grueling and tedious thing, and it does prepare you for life. It helped me out a lot of all my stuff that I've been through in my life. So
there you go.
Anyway, we've got news here. We've got Randy's got some fun things to go over. We've of course got blog information. We had an extremely interesting guest here in our booth last week.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Agent Red,
Mr. Agent Red,
and he's probably listening right now. So Agent Red, if you are on there, or Agent White, or any of the other secret agents out there, again 707-933-9133. Call in and tell us how things are.
Yeah, actually, I would be curious to hear how well it went.
Yeah.
Terms of your wine being featured on their website.
It's an incredible website, and he's doing a tremendous job, I think, putting and formulating this marketing thing together, where you're basically they star a winery or a wine from a specific winery on one day, a 24-hour mad sale day. And
you were in fact featured.
I was featured,
it was upon him. I mean, it was just amazing the fact that we had him in here. I didn't even realize that it was going to be happening. So we had him in here. We talked, and then suddenly a couple days later, you were featured. And I was like, hey, wow.
Yeah, and he's going to feature one of our other a white port actually coming up in the near future too. So that'll be interesting.
Stay tuned. Because actually, hey, I mean, the price they put it down was pretty good. I mean, it's like they knocked $12 off the price.
Yeah. So. I give it to them for a good price, and then they send, you know, they just make a couple bucks just to, mainly because of the marketing thing of it. And they send, if you buy 6 bottles or more with their marketing thing, it's free shipping. And what's the website again? You have
it's www.thewinespies.com. So that's SPIES as spies. So
.com.
And there were a bunch of good guys. We had a great time having Agent Red in. And even though, and actually I wanted to say that we did figure out, and we talked in the hallway, we figured out why Kaz couldn't talk to Agent White, and it was because he was on the wrong microphone.
Yeah. And that,
right. Wow.
Yeah. We learned things. There's like, this is like an octopus kind of thing in here with this. There's about 25 arms, and you have to grab one of them, and hopefully it's the one. Like you grabbed the wrong earphones.
I did. Just, apparently I did. Because I, you know, but because anyhow, it's now we understand that the two of us will always be on these mics, and then our poor victim, I mean guest, will be on the third mic. And if you ever want to call in and talk to the guest, they can have my mic or something like that. Anyway,
again,
it's something we work around.
933-9133. If somebody from the Burblado family is out there and you're listening today, call in. Let us know what's going on. Dave Homewood, anybody else in the Sonoma area?
Yeah, tell us how the weather's been for you guys, because we're curious about how kind of the rains of, you know, last night and then what was it, 2 weeks ago, a week ago?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the last kind of strange round of late or early fall. Or
early fall, and it definitely feels like fall. The grape leaves are changing colors.
I know. It's starting to be the color thing going on.
Autumn is upon us. And for those of you that don't think California goes through this, come up to Wine Country sometime and see it, because this year should be pretty spectacular. There's a new wine tasting room in the town of Kenwood.
No way.
Yeah. It's in the little town near the little Kenwood store, and it's Muscardini.
I saw the sign for that.
Yeah. Cellars and Ty Caton Vineyards tasting room, and they are at 8910 Sonoma Highway in the little Kenwood Village Marketplace there, and they're open from 10 to 5 daily. Tasting is $5 fee. And it will be put towards the wine purchase there. So they're brand spanking new. They've been in like a week and a half now.
Yeah, it hasn't been very long at all.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I saw the sign that said coming soon.
Yeah, well, soon. Yeah, soon is here.
Soon as now.
Yeah, they were able to get all their stuff done. And actually, I should have those guys on there because they can talk real freshly about how fun it is to kind of start a
tasting room.
Yeah, because with all the new things.
I'd be curious how long they've been in the wineries have been in business.
And those things, too. I know Ty Caton's winery has been around for about 4 years or so. So, and he's been looking and scoping things out, and then finally this space became available. It's not like we have a lot of warehouse space and buildings available that the county will allow you to go in because of septic systems and stuff. And even though you're only a wine tasting room or a tasting bar, they treat you like you're a restaurant.
Wow.
So you have to go through, I mean, like amazing septic stuff, like you're going to be putting, because you're a food, they consider it a food processor.
Huh. That's so weird.
So it's just like,
it's
right,
like, no, okay, well.
No, this is a tasting room.
So that's an interesting hoop to jump through.
Yeah.
Actually, this leads into something that I wanted to mention.
Sure.
Napa Valley Wine Radio. That's a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We might have talked about them before.
But, we have.
Their latest episode, which is numbered episode 51, is called What Does It Take to Start a Vineyard or Winery?
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's an interview with Mark Freund of Silicon Valley Bank. Now, did you know Silicon Valley Bank was a big lender for vineyards?
Huge. And they advertise in every little wine publication out there, and they're always at the symposiums, and they always have a little table or booth and say, please come by. If you need money, talk to us, Silicon Bank.
Yeah, Silicon Valley Bank. It's so weird because I've actually, I've grown up down in Silicon Valley, and so that's why I see that. I'm like, that's odd.
Yeah.
They specialize in it.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is, though, that I think that since the .com money thing is out there, they wanted to diversify in their own portfolio.
Okay.
And they thought, well, might as well do what's
popular
behind us right up the road,
which is
the wineries and stuff. And I think it's pretty smart, really.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. So my commentary about that is that it's a bit long. I actually literally listened to it in the half hour leading up to the show.
Oh, good. Let's talk about it.
No. There's not a whole lot to talk about because it went into such depth. It was a really long interview. But the thing, boy, it was a bit long, but it was very worthwhile. I mean, if you seriously are looking to start a winery or vineyard,
right,
and this guy actually asked the questions that you should be asking yourself, what sort of things you should have, you should line up, in terms of, if it's not soil samples or if it's, projecting yields on a particular property.
Right.
So that you can go get financing to build that vineyard. It was actually kind of educated. It was good. It was good. Good podcast.
Good stuff. Good info. And again, you should have your number two pencils ready, kids. It is a prerequisite. So we're going to give you a few seconds here to go get at that pencil because you're going to need to write these things down.
And we will count 1,000, 2,000.
Okay,
3,
time's
1,000.
Up. Okay, good. So now we're giving you two things. We're giving
one more thing. Let's give out. I'll give out the URL for this, and then you can keep going.
No, yeah, no.
So the URL for this is really straightforward. NapaValleyWineRadio.com.
Napa
Valley
Wine
Radio.com.
Okay. And then they can get information there on Silicon Bank stuff.
This podcast is there. They can click on that and have a listen. It's probably 40 minutes.
Cool.
But it's
and I'm sure Silicon Valley Bank .com probably.
More than I would hazard a guess. I can check on that one.
But again, they're specialists in getting wineries or vineyard people money. So if you're thinking, especially if you're listening to our show and you're from Biloxi, Mississippi, and you go,
I'd sure like to own a winery up here in wine country, California.
Actually, theirs is SVB.com.
SVB.com. So I like it when people are short like that. Like my winery, KAZ.com.
TLA.
TLA.
Three-letter acronym.
Yeah, I like that. The three-letter thing works. Okay, so again, we've given you out two things. Another thing you got to write down is this little tasting room in Kenwood, 8910 Sonoma Highway in the beautiful town of Kenwood, just right up the road. If you have anything you want to email to or find out about, not email, but their website information, you can go to tycaton.com. Again, T-Y-C-A-T-O-N.com. Or muscardinisellers.com, spelled muscardinisellers.com. Or you can even call them at 707-833-0526. Again, 707-833-0526. So that's some of the information we're giving out here today, free to you, our listening audience, and all you crazy people driving around out there going,
It's such a beautiful day. Is it always like this in wine country?
Well, yes, it is.
As a matter of fact, except when it's not.
And then it's very seldom not. So.
Well, that's true, especially last winter.
Okay, did you know that St. Francis Winery is they're having a blessing of the animals?
The animals.
Yes, it's something that they've done for quite some time. And
what animals are they blessing?
They're blessing any animals. The patron saint of animals is
St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah. And people are invited to bring their animals up to the beautiful winery, and they'll take care of doing that for you. Let's see, where's you're invited to bring your animals, blessed brothers, and the visiting center.
So you can bring your animals to be blessed.
Yes. Whoa. Yeah. So you can have that done, and that's kind of a fun thing to do. I suppose if you want to make sure that your animals get to heaven. What the heck was that? that's going to be on Sunday, October the 7th, which is, gosh darn it, would you believe it?
It's already October 1.
That's 6 days. Happy October.
Happy October.
Happy October to all of you listeners out there. Again, 9:33.
Before you know it, it'll be behind us.
It'll be behind us.
Enjoy it now.
Anyway, bless your animals from 3 to 5 up at St. Francis Winery. And enjoy seeing some of the exotic animals that they're going to have there from Safari West, which is an amazing place. And there's going to be the Humane Society people are going to be there with some pets too. So if you want to go even pick up a pet while you're there, go pick a pet. St. Francis Winery in between Santa Rosa and Kenwood. So there's that one.
Cool.
See, I'm just
full. Man, you're just pounding them out.
Yeah, pounding them out.
Yeah, y'all, it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask you, were you thinking of, you know, because in
I'm
November.
Always, I'm always thinking.
Always thinking of something.
Something.
Were you thinking of in mid-November the Nouveau Beaujolais? Have you ever had one?
I have.
I have not.
I have been fortunate enough to have two in my lifetime. And Eric Aho, my old co-host here, who's out there somewhere, and you probably are listening, Eric. So, Eric, if you're out there, I know you're in town because my son saw you on Saturday, over at the park because that was the vintage festival thing going on. And, you know, you're always in the park. He's always in the park drinking. And so he was there. There he was drinking away in his old favorite little park bench without his clothes on. But Eric Aho, 933-9133.
It's like he should know the number, really.
He probably says it in his sleep because he did the show even before he and I started Wine Biz 2.4, three or four years ago.
I don't know why 2.4, but I'll just move
on. Well, see, you didn't know that because it was a high-tech show, and neither one of us were high-tech. So
and now you have someone high-tech on the show, and we don't call it 2.4.
We don't call it that because, it's too long.
That's irony for you, folks.
It's too long.
We're
going to take a quick little message here and listen to something that's going on in the area, and then both Randy and I can kind of figure out where we're at and what we're going to be doing, because I'm sure it's going to be some real amazing information that you're going to be getting. And I say that with all the sarcasm in my tone.
About everything you can muster.
But I am the Don Rickles of winemakers. So anyway, please listen to this, and we're going to be right back at you, because who else loves you more than Randy and Kaz on Wine Biz? Oh, we're back in full regalia. We now have more energy than Superman himself.
Yeah, we stepped outside and stuck our fingers in the outlet.
I thought that was a joint.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's illegal. We don't do illegal things.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you're listening to Wine Biz on KSVY 91.3 FM and KSVY.org, and you'll get it on the podcast later on winebizradio.com.
Winebizradio.com is a very, very awesome website that my co-host put together, and now he's officially the official.
Oh, and we're on iTunes now too. We got the podcast is on iTunes under podcast. So if you go to iTunes and open it up, and you go to the little top thing, and you type wine biz, Wine Biz, our podcast shows up.
Wow,
damn, we are so good.
That's amazing. See, and it's just from this little booth across from the Martini Oyster Bar and Grill, commonly known as Meritage. And we're here in Sonoma, broadcasting you, watching those Northwest truckers just drive by the front window here, and it's just amazing.
It's amazing, yeah. The two guys sitting in Sonoma have such fun. Hey, so we're going to talk about winemaking.
Let's talk winemaking.
We'll talk winemaking.
I've been doing that lately.
Yeah, I've been learning a lot about it.
Okay, lately. Good. So, yeah, you have a book and you've got all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. But what I want to ask was, because right now we talk a lot about things like, and I'm going to geek out, we talk a lot about yeast available nitrogen, stuff like that.
Yes.
So I was going to ask you, what nutrients do you use?
None.
None.
Yeah, I make life real tough for my wines to kind of commit themselves to become what they will be. I'm one of the few guys that adds no nutrients to the wine at all. I'm a real big.
So you're basically just throw the fruit in and put the lid on and but do you inoculate that?
This year I'm inoculating half. Most of the time I do inoculate with a yeast that I think probably works better and has a better chance of creating itself. But I've become more and more and even natural, just letting them do their thing. If a wine does stick, and I kind of know that from past experience, and that's why I do like to get grapes from vineyards that I know kind of the fruit, and I've tested them a little bit to see how, you know, if the nutrient value is in the grape and if they will complete go to complete dryness, because that's where you usually run into troubles, that you have the wild yeast and then all of a sudden it'll get stuck at 6% residual sugar and you go,
that's not good.
That's not going to work.
No.
All right. So in the old days, I would put that in my port. So it was just kind of a way to kind of
So even a stock fermentation you'd still use in some manner.
Absolutely. I've never lost anything in my entire life. I'm too cheap.
Yeah, well, there's that.
But you have this big expense and I'm not going to lose it. The worst scenario too is that I've forgotten to top a barrel or something like that, and it's turned to vinegar. Well, I don't let that go to waste either. I take that outside and put it in my little vinegar section, and then I actually make organic vinegar.
Yeah, but
vinegar.
Then you can't use that barrel anymore, can you?
Yeah, it's just a barrel. No, that barrel is pretty, you can, but you have to go through such an amazing. But
you basically have to sulfur it and beat the crap out of it.
Sand it from the inside out.
Ooh.
And retorch it and then plus
use any sulfur at all, it's like, yeah, it makes
well, I do use sulfites. I don't use sulfur. Sulfur is something you put in the vineyard. Sulfites is what you put in the wine.
Right.
Okay, so I do use a very, very, very low part. You will only put in 10 to 15 parts per million, and sometimes none, just depending on how much I want to push the envelope. And I never add sulfur or sulfite at the crusher.
Okay.
And the grapes never have seen sulfur in my
vineyards. So, yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, I'm
so you deal with
I'm a kook.
That's we've talked about this before, but you deal with the need for sulfur by just defoliating a little bit, keeping
yeah,
air around the grapes.
Exactly. Just if you have movement around there, you don't have to sulfur the vineyard. And if there's, you know, with this kind of today's, once the grapes really reach, especially around 18 bricks or so, 16 to 18 bricks, they're pretty darn safe. There is enough structure in the skin and in the grape that they're not going to get to go to the mildew problem. So, And then the wine making part of it, the nutrients, I have added a long time ago. I tried a few different things to that they have out there. And my son, I'm kind of glad that you asked that question, because my son and daughter are going to be making.
Isn't it? There's going to be the Kaz wine competition.
The Kaz wine competition is going on. We're all getting the same grape, which is coming in on Wednesday. It's Petit Sirah. Oh. It's coming in from Lake County. A new vineyard for me. I've just talked with this gentleman.
Oh, so none of you have any kind of prehistory with this. So it's
no prehistory, no nothing.
It's all going to be skill.
Yeah, and this is—it's not an organic vineyard. It's a sustainable ag vineyard, which basically means he's used Roundup and doesn't spray with anything harsh on the vine. At least, so he tells me and stuff. And I'll find out, because I can get his records and see what he's been spraying with and everything too. Mm-hmm. But he seems like a pretty cool guy, and. And Mr. Chris is his name, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's going to be kind of fun. My son's going to – he's going to inoculate, and my daughter, too, is going to inoculate. No, I take it back. My son's going to use natural. He's going to just –
Spontaneous,
but he's going to add nutrients. My daughter's going to
inoculate
it and add some nutrients, and I'm going to add – a yeast to it, but no. so the automatically, and we're all starting to pick out barrels now. My son wants to go with a very old. No, he wants to go with a 1-year-old barrel. So it has a little bit of oak left. My daughter wants to use an absolutely neutral, 6-year-old barrel.
So that's not 7-year-old barrel. Impart anything?
Nothing. Really. Just grapes. And then I'm using a brand new one.
Oh my goodness! It's going to be crazy. There's almost no way to compare. I mean, there will be three completely different wines that come out.
I hope so. And then we're going to sell it as a tri-pack.
That's going to totally go.
Run
out the door.
Yeah, because here's an opportunity for people, and we'll really spell it out. The back label will only be exactly what we've done in the three, each one, and. They're all going to pick their bottle, or we're all going to pick our bottle, shape that we want, the color, whatever we want, and we're going to all design our own label.
Oh man, that sounds like fun. So that sounds crazy.
It could be kind of a fun thing. So it will be.
Will be fun. It's just have you guys did you guys talk up that sort of stuff at all in kind of how you're marketing and all of this other stuff?
It'll be easy.
You figure you'll work it out.
And price-wise, I'll probably set that because dad's paying for all the stuff up front, and then the kids will get a little bit of the benefit after dad's been paid off on this little exciting little venture. But it should be a real fun thing, and I'm looking forward to it.
I think it would be really cool, especially if by the time it's done, you guys, and if it's really successful – that it becomes annual thing.
Yeah,
Now, actually, when it comes to inoculating, I was going to ask you.
Sure.
So for the yeast that you guys have, do you actually use different yeasts and different batches?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Because there's all this talk of in vineyards, it's like the first time you use that facility, you're not going to have any kind of yeast. You're not going to have a yeast population in the building. So
in the first year, you really don't have that much, but. Okay, here's the thing. Grapes have that's where the yeast is. There's yeast in air. Just it's floating around, and that's why everybody's getting all their crazy allergies, because there's all these things growing, and the yeast is all it's out there from every plant that's in existence out there. And Sonoma County has a very wide selection of things that we grow up here. So it's supposedly the capital of the world of pollen and yeast. So anyway, with all this yeast floating around and in the vineyard as well and in the winery, like you say, it's pretty sterile in the first year or so of a winery. But after that, there's just so much. Once you bring grapes through there.
Right. And all of your equipment, no matter how clean you get your equipment, there's still going to be kind of a population.
The dust that you usually find, or when you look on a grape, even when you buy them in the market and you kind of rub the grape, those are a lot of yeast cells on there. It's not just dust. So next time you go to the market, just look at the grapes, even green grapes, and why they have kind of a tinge to them. They're not shiny. Just take your finger and just wipe it, and you'll be amazed.
And then lick it. That's what yeast tastes like. No, All right.
Yeah, your stomach will ferment for months.
Yeah. So it was an interesting notion.
Good.
I mean, there's, and I'm telling you, man, this is I'm sitting in the class and I'm like pouring. I'm basically. I get my ears pointed at the instructor and everybody in the class. And a lot of people in the classes are in the industry. So they're like, they're cellar workers and other people that that are trying to become winemakers. And I mean, I'm just like, get it in my head as fast as you can.
Yeah, you can't take notes fast enough, can you?
You cannot. I mean, everything that's coming off of him, I'm like, you know, I just stare kind of, you know, I get this 1,000-yard stare because I'm like, how do I get this in my head fast enough?
Yeah, especially when they start going into glycerides and hydronium sacartides and eptides.
No, mercifully, that's the advanced winemaking class. I'm not. This is just the enology class. So
yeah, well, that's that. Yeah, that's that. Yeah. You're still in the good one. Hey, do you want to talk about this book, or do you want to? You have another question too.
Let's do that one. But
either or,
I'll talk about the Pinot Blogger, and then we'll talk about this question, and then we'll talk about the book. We will get to the book.
Okay, so. And then we've got more information. So again, kids, you got to keep your number two pencils handy because you're going to need them.
This hour is going fast. All right. So actually what I wanted to talk about was a Pinot Blogger. Josh Hermsmeyer, he's been on the show. He's a good friend of the show.
Yep.
He actually, it's really kind of cool. You know, he went back to his a little bit of his roots about his blog. Now his blog is about creating a winery. So establishing a winery. And actually last week he started putting in entries about his Pinot recipe for this year.
Okay.
So the steps he's done, the choices he's made, and it's actually very interesting. He also has some gripes about licensing that he put in there too.
Yeah, so. he is, and for those of you that didn't listen to that show, and you don't happen to have the date that he was on, do you?
I have the show somewhere. I'll get it. We will get it up on the podcast.
Yeah, on the podcast because it is incredible because he's basically going to be setting up his tasting room and the design of his even winery on the recommendations of you, the population out there.
And so
great idea.
I think the people on his the reading his blog were actually voted on his logo, and you know, they've had feedback and everything he's done. So realistic, what it boils down to is that he used he both ameliorated and he acidified.
Right.
So literally, actually, he bled off too. So the idea was his sugars were way too high from what he wanted. So he basically bled off and then added water back in to get his sugars in the right area.
Don't say that word. Water.
Water.
Yeah,
well,
don't say water.
Sorry, he ameliorated to get the sugars into the right. I know. He's like, man, that's such a dirty word.
Yeah.
And then he also ended up not having the acidity he was looking for.
Right.
So he basically added
Now a lot of guys, and 99% of probably say 95% of the wineries out there will add acids, take away acids, and just get things to the where they think they should be. Here I go again. I'm on the other side of the rainbow.
You are in the don't touch anything.
That's right.
Realm.
I'm not adding.
It is what it is.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm adding nothing. Anyway,
go
ahead.
So what?
He's awesome.
How this really kind of got interesting is that you know, he did this, and then he was trying to sign in with a custom crush outfit so that he could start establishing his, you know, making his wine, getting it out there.
Right.
And he also contracted a consultant to do the licensing for him.
Okay.
And then the interesting thing that happened was that the licensing, his contractor or this consultant basically did nothing for him. He basically can't sell wine this year.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So, he's trying to make lemonade out of it because what he's doing is for folks on his mailing list, he's sending out samples. So he's going to send out – first of all, he's going to send out samples in 2 375-milliliter bottles with no oak.
Oh.
And then he's going to send them out with 2 bottles that have been on oak, and then he's going to send out a final bottle.
And not charge for it because
I don't think
he's
charging because he can't. Yeah, so he's going to send it out. So people on the mailing list will get access to
I want
to
get on his mailing
list. So pinotblogger.com. Yeah, you should definitely go there, sign up. And obviously what you should do is go to his blog entry at Kaz and say – hey, this is Kaz. I want some. And I'm sure he'll work it out. I'll send him an email.
Well, the thing that I think, you know, at least he could get the opinion from
from
the Kaz family, not just my
not just
palate.
You, but
yeah, no, I'd do it with the whole family. I'd sit down and do that. So there's you know, 6 of us that get around the table and do that.
I think that what makes this really extraordinary is the fact that he's doing this for the folks who are interested in his wine. He's like, yeah, you know what? I can't sell this to you, so I'm going to send it out to you. Tell me what you think.
That's good.
And he'll take that feedback and do something with it. See, now that's why they call it Wine 2.0. It's like involving your audience. So actually, with that in mind, okay, let's quickly talk about
before we go to our next break.
I want to talk. What are your impressions of being doing the chat, the online chat with the Wine Spies?
Wine Spies Wine Chat. Yeah, again, we had this. I asked to put a wine up, and by the Wine Spies, and that was pretty fun. I wish we had had more people actually involved with it. I think it was partly
that they didn't have enough time, advance time, getting the word out.
Yeah, and not only with my, we had a breakdown in our own little system that I couldn't get our wine connection people involved with that. But I liked it. I thought it was a good thing. I think one hour is plenty enough long. You were really only on for like 45 minutes.
Even
a little less than that. But I was actually on pre that because you were on.
I know. Yeah, you and I were bantering a little bit before the show before that chat started.
Like
I was unable to actually be there.
Right, and so I emailed in that said, so what do you really do, Randy? You know, I was asking stupid questions and stuff, and but anyway, it was a. I think it's good. I think it's definitely a way that again, people, if they have an interest in something, the hard part about it is again at the time that we did it, it was 12 o'clock,
middle of the day,
12 to one,
right?
And it might be a better thing to do at night.
It might, from like
5 to 6 o'clock, and I was going to actually email him that, and I think if one of the Wine Spies is out there, you should be calling us because it's Wine Spies. Please call us at 707-933-9133, and let's talk why. Why the middle of the day was the best time
to do that? Because I was curious about that too. It was like, why would 12 o'clock be the right time to talk with a winemaker?
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's the right time, even at 5 to 6 o'clock, because people are either – I don't know. I don't know if there is a good time to do it or do 2 half-hour segments and really blast it out there that this dude's going to be available.
But it leads to what I'm really starting to get kind of in my head about the Wine 2.0 movement is really – it's like things like Facebook, which I know that eventually I will convince you that you need to be on this. But the idea is that it gives a window for folks who are interested in you or what you're up to. It's like – What's on Kaz's mind this week? And I get that you have nothing.
Well,
yeah, you usually don't because you're too busy with the football thing. But the idea is that you get in there and you can build an audience that way. It's just like, hey, I'm crushing 20 tons of such and such, and boy, that was fun, or wow, it really stank. It never stinks. Well, okay, but you get the idea is that you put those sorts of things up, and that's what you bring your audience to.
So. Okay. All right. So there we have it. So, well, that brings us to the end of our show today. Goodbye. No, I'm just kidding, kids. We've got 20 more minutes of this craziness on Wine Biz here with Kaz and Randy Hall here. And we're going to be right back with you in just seconds because I have the technology of pushing the right buttons and doing the right things here because I'm who I am. We're back. You're listening to Wine Biz here with Randy and Kaz on KSVY 91.3 on your FM dial because we're just the best.
Because we cab. Hey, all right. I got a question for you.
Yes. Zinfully listening.
Actually, you know what we're going to do first? We're going to do shout-outs because I've got friends who always complain that I don't actually mention their names.
Oh, good. Let's shout them out.
The first shout is to my good friend Scott.
Scott. I know Scott.
Yeah, you know Scott. And you know Mark as well.
Good old Mark.
Because they both came with me the first times we ever met you.
Those crazy drunkards. What do they want?
They just want me to acknowledge their existence.
Their existence?
I know.
Wow. Yeah. That's easy.
I know.
If you want us to acknowledge your existence, please call in 933-9133. Again, 933-9133. And if you're one of those crazy broads driving around right now in that car right out in front of us and you feel lonely, call us 933-9133 and we'll brighten your day.
Another thing, I wanted to ask a question. So sure. A very good old friend of mine named Deb is in town.
Hello, Deb.
She's visiting from Washington.
Yes.
And she asks, what wine do you recommend to somebody who doesn't like wine? That is, she doesn't like alcohol.
Okay, well, that brings us to my wine industry alert here from okay, we will talk about that, but wait a minute, she doesn't like alcohol.
She claims not to.
Okay,
but I mean, so she for somebody who normally doesn't like wine, what would you recommend?
Well, she sounds pretty boring.
She's not boring. I've known her for a long, long time.
Okay, no, I'm
she's
just I'm being very facetious, and everybody knows me, knows that I'm always facetious. So anyway, I would suggest, you know, doing what the industry made for people like that in just getting everybody started, which is White Zin. Yeah, I mean, I think truly, I think you start something
with – So start her on a rosé. Huh?
Rosé, something light, a little fruity that she can – you know, she's not – I mean, most people, when they have their first little bit of wine, the first thing is like, you know, it's like, ooh, no, this is really good. No, it's not very good. You know, it's especially, something you acquire a taste for.
You don't certainly don't say, "Oh, here, yeah, you don't. You've never had wine before. Here, have try a cab."
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good. They're
going to be like, "What is this?
Why would anybody be so stupid to drink this? You know, when there's good stuff out there like beer." But the other thing was the Alcopops thing. I mean, if the white wine or the white Zin is a little too much, then the Alcopops and we had many shows before your time that Eric and I did on Alcopops, and basically it's you know, the Bartles and James
the wine cooler.
Wine coolers, yeah. And you just start going on those wine coolers, and then eventually you go, well, those are good. And then sangria is incredible. If you go to Spain, I'm not a real big fan of Spain particularly, and their food and their wine overall, I'm not a big fan. But some of the sangrias and their white sangria, I'll make a white sangria even for friends and up here, and we have great parties. And literally, it's lemonade, white wine, and then throw in kiwis and anything green, plums and not plums, but pears and green apples and stuff, and just keep it
and just kind of macerates
kind of keep it macerating. They just pull all those things together for a few hours, throw it over some ice, and you have a fun little white sangria.
Very quaffable, I imagine.
Very quaffable, and it just gets people, you know, a little, you know,
it loosens
started.
Them up.
Yeah, and yeah. It just gets you started into the wine thing. So, what do you have?
Oh, very cool.
Did you have another question?
No. That was the question.
No, that was good. No, I like questions like that. Hey, we got a couple other things. Get your number two pencils out. We got Spotlight on Zinfandel, and that's coming up in 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to prepare. Spotlight on Zinfandel, and that's in the Kenwood and Glen Ellen wineries, Blackstone, Eric Ross, Imagery, Kaz. What a great
Kaz,
guy.
Kaz Vineyard. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I know that winery.
He's got a great voice.
voice made for radio.
That's right. The Cundy Winery. We have Loxton Vineyards, Mayo Family Winery, St. Francis, where they're blessing the dogs next weekend. And the Wine Room and VJB Winery, and of course Wellington, one of the small family wineries in the Glen Ellen area. And
yeah, we did that last year. That was a fabulous event.
It's kind of fun.
It was amazing. In fact, the highlight, and it's not that you were good, but the highlight was actually Wellington, because they did a flight of all of their Zins.
See,
and it was awesome. It really because you got to taste how each year was different.
Yeah, they're the Zin. I think they're
the Zin masters.
The Zin masters of the area. Anyway, it's called Spotlight on Zins. It's October 13th and 14th from 11 to 4. It's $20 per person.
Doesn't it benefit? It's Hardisonoa Valley's putting it on, but doesn't that benefit someone?
It always.
They've always got a benefit. We have to
beneficiary thing. Yeah, we should have Miss Josie Gay on the show with us before the. Well, better do it next week.
Next week. We'll anyway, give her a call.
Taste and explore one of California's most notorious wines itself. The Zinfandel, while mingling with friends and wine lovers, and sample dozens of different Zinfandels in the 11 wineries. Anyway, if you want more information on that, you can go to www.heartofsonomavalley.com, or, again, this is why you have your number two pencils ready, 866-794-9463. Tickets will be available at the wineries the weekend of the event.
And it's $20 a head.
And it's $20 a head.
I guarantee you, folks, if you go to this, you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, it's really pretty good. It's our own little. Yeah. It's our zap of this valley,
right?
Just north of us here. So anyway, there's that.
All right.
Oh boy, I feel good about that.
So, do you want to talk about? He's been clamoring about this wine industry alert. So let's talk about
the wine industry alert.
Yeah, okay, that was a good one. And then we'll talk about the book, and then we'll be done.
Oh no, no, there's much more.
Much more.
But before we even do that, so I get my plug into my buddies. We've got to always contact. If anybody wants to listen to more wine biz information stuff up here, you got to go to two other shows that are on KSVY right here. 91.3, and you want to listen in from 4 to 5 o'clock on Wednesday to Johnny B and his famous Radio Wine Club. And he's great. If you want to, he's a sommelier that just takes wine to the next level. And then if you really want to get bored, you want to listen to Grant Raysides talk about Heard It Through the Grapevine. No, Grant does a great show, and he is our Sonoma Valley Vintners and Grape Growers Presidente. And so he'll give you all kinds of stuff that's going on in the valley of the moon here in the beautiful Sonoma Valley. So anyway, those are the two shows that we push in the 4 to 5 o'clock time period on Wednesday and Thursday. And, of course, our show here with Randy and Kaz on Mondays from 1 to 2 o'clock.
But then again, you're listening to that. So
yeah, and you already know that. But we have to push that because it's our show.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, wine alert. this gentleman, John Bram, owner of Arbor Hill Winery in Naples, New York. And he sent this out to all the wineries. Oops, we've got a caller. So I want to take the caller because I never like to miss a caller. Caller, can you hear us? Oh. Caller, can you hear us? Caller, why can't you hear us? Randy, what did you push? Can you hear us?
Oh, no, he's panicking. This is bad.
Can you hear us, caller?
No.
Caller?
Caller can't hear us.
Caller.
No, he's random.
Oops. Hello, caller?
Nope.
Se habla español? Oh, I don't want to hold him. I'll drop him. Okay, if that was a caller that you want to hear something and try and talk to us, you can go ahead and try and communicate. 933-9133.
And next time, Kaz promises he won't pound as many buttons on the board.
Well, I pounded every friggin' button on there, and it's still
the board. He basically did. It was kind of funny to watch. Yeah. It was tragic, almost.
Yeah.
Anyhow, hey, so let's talk about
this alert. Yeah. Okay, so here it is. I'm writing this again. Is John Brum from Arbor Hill Winery in New York. I'm writing this to ask you to join in my crusade to stop wine drink advertising from promoting their products in a misleading manner, leading consumers to assume that they are buying a varietal wine. You know, the so-called raspberry Chardonnay is not raspberry flavored Chardonnay. Rather, it is a mixture of corn syrup, water, and fruit flavorings in a wine base, which contains as low as 30% varietal juice. Further, they are packaged in wine-style bottles, placed on their shelves right next to the other wines, and promoted as wine. So, damn it, Jim, let's get this straight.
That's kind of odd. It's like, well, okay, it's in a wine base, but it's not wine. Yeah, I would call it a wine cooler.
I mean, I call it a wine cooler too.
I mean, it's a wine beverage, sure, but it's not.
I think he's right. The fact is that this product is less than 7% alcohol and it's considered under the Food and Drug Administration jurisdiction rather than the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Department because it's under 7%. Oh, I see. Or the TTB. So that tells the government already acknowledges this distinction. However, there is no muscle behind it in the fact that the FDA doesn't even have a category description for the product in this category. So anyway, I think it is a pretty good thing to kind of look at and help support. So there is a docket proposal that it's going up there in front of the truthinwineadvertising.com.
Truth in Advertising. I love that.
So I should check that out. But I agree with him. It drives me nuts. This is one for you too, Randy Hall.
Oh, dear.
If you are out there as a wine consumer and you're buying a wine and it says Chardonnay on it, what percentage of that do you really want it to be Chardonnay? I mean, do you want it all to be Chardonnay?
You and I have had this conversation. I know.
But I'm asking you percentage-wise. I mean, if you really had to...
I would think that it would have to be a lot. I like 90% would be my choice. I would think that, if they had... Because... If they had to cut it with something to,
For whatever reason,
that's right. Fine. It's like they had, an extra few gallons of Sauvignon Blanc and they toss it in the barrel. It's like no big deal.
Right.
But yeah, as soon as you get, I would think that less than 90 would start to get question marks. It's like, why are you calling it Chardonnay?
Right. See, and right now the government is allowing 75%. Well, I think personally that's way too.
That's way too low. That's like a C.
Yeah, that's a C. Exactly. Yeah. I want an A.
How are you going to get the best possible Chardonnay if you have a C average?
Yeah, exactly. And if you know, when you go to a restaurant and stuff, you go, I'd like some, you know, salmon. Well, how would you like it if 25% of that salmon was actually like
cod
or monkfish or something more obscure, you know, in your stew or something? You know, it's like, no.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, so anyway.
Like I said, you and I have talked about this. We agree in principle that that's just not...
That's not kosher.
It's not, no.
So maybe that's maybe everything should be held up to a higher standard. I like that.
You know what? What I'm going to suggest is that we don't talk about the book today because we only got a few minutes left, but we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Okay, because...
You'll be more into it.
And if we get Tom in here... then we can really talk about the book.
Oh, because he's
he's reviewed it too. So, if you haven't had a chance yet, the book is actually called First Big Crush by Eric Arnold, who's an editor for Wine Spectator. And I'll leave it at that for now. So it could be the book club. Everybody, go out, buy this book and read it, and we'll all talk about it next week.
This could be the Wine Book Club Hour.
Wine Book Club
with Randy
Hour.
And Cash. Yeah. The other thing is, too, if anybody ever does read out there a book I'm not a real book reader, and you already know that. I'm just not a big book reader. But I do like to skim through the pages of books and look at the pictures, especially if they're dirty pictures of grapes, you know, with the dirt on them and sprays and
pictures.
Stuff.
And adult-oriented grape photos?
Yeah, exactly. I love to look at those. So anyway, if you've ever read a book on wine business or wine biz or anything out there that you think it should other people should know about it, there's a lot of fun marketing books out there right now that are even based on wine industry stuff. Please call in our show at any time, and you're always welcome to call in. I always beg people to call in, and you can just call in. This is casual radio.
And then when you do call in, we'll mess it up, and you won't get on the air.
That's right. We'll mess it up completely, like I did with that other caller who was, I think, a little too timid. Anyway, but 933-9133. You can always write that down and call in next week because we're going to be signing off here in 1 minute.
Yeah, but it's really kind of a shame because, man, there's so many good things to talk about too because there was some really good blog entries this week. There was lots of activity this last week. So we'll just have to save it.
We'll save it for our –
But we did talk about Pinot Blogger, which was a good one. That was like probably
the
one I really
liked. And the Wine Spies, we thank again Agent Red for showing up last week and doing a great show with us. And I totally salute his efforts, and as I do with all the winemakers out there, I salute you, my brethren, putting up with all the crazy weather and the craziness of our business.
You're making it sound like the great Soviet nation of winemaking.
Well, it's almost how it is. I mean, because it's going to get more and more interesting if the laws on migrant workers change too much.
You really think that's a big impact?
It's going to be huge. Yeah. It's going to be huge if it affects I've already gotten rumbles this year already of things starting to come up the fears that the
is that having to do with the whole Social Security number recording stuff and
all that
and all that
the
stuff?
Whole nine yards has got to get cleared up quick.
We're in a
deep world of hurt here. So anyway, we appreciate you listening to our show.
You have been listening to Wine Biz on KSVY 91.3 FM, streaming online live at ksvy.org, and of course on our podcast at winebizradio.com. You can also find it on iTunes. Just search for Wine Biz.
And Randy Hall and Kaz, we are the wine experts of Sonoma Valley. So all I got to say, kids, is bottoms up. Have a good week, and we'll listen. We'll listen to you when you call in next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.